What's up, guys? Welcome back to Strength 101, the podcast where we break down fitness and nutrition into its simplest forms so that you can get the results that you want. Today, we have an interview that I'm very excited for. We got DJ Bush in the house.
Whoop,
say whoop. Hi, DJ.
That is me.
DJ's a coach at Strength Academy. He's a coach and he's also our programming manager. And so right now he is taking over all the group fitness programming. We do strength training, mostly in our gym. That's our primary product. And so he's been, he finds out devious ways to torture our members, but also stack a bunch of muscle mass on them. So welcome, Deej.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. I'm excited. You guys don't even know. DJ is an insane person, especially when it comes to energy and optimism and motivation. And I'm psyched to learn more about you, man.
A little delusional.
A little delusional.
A little delusional.
Yeah. You the know. Best people are always a little
gotta
crazy,
gotta be a little
right?
crazy if you gotta go to the highest point. You
Hell
know?
Yeah. Awesome.
Kanye ways. Or Kanye West is crazy, right?
He is.
He got to the top,
yeah.
right?
So he's I mean, just getting crazier. So
yeah, yeah.
What are you going to be like when you're 50?
I don't know. This is going to be nuts.
I'll be excited to be there. All right. So the first thing we're going to do, we're going to start out with that fitness rapid fire again. So okay. The way this is going to work is Family Feud style. I'm just going to ask you several questions as fast as possible, and I want you to try not to think about them and just spit out your first answer.
Easy.
I just thought of another one, so I'm going to add it in here.
Snap, crackle, pop.
Yeah. And then we're also going to talk about your life.
I feel like I normally don't think before I speak, so it'll be easy.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
This will just flow.
Oh.
All right, man. You ready?
Yep.
Ready for it? Okay.
All right.
All right. Would you rather be strong or big? You can only pick one.
Big.
Big. Upper body or lower body?
Upper body, 100%.
Bulk or cut?
Oh, that's tough. I can't not think of that. Cut.
We broke them already.
Yeah, cut.
Cut?
Yeah.
How many calories do you bulk on?
3,000, like 500.
Nice. And you put on weight at 3,500?
Oh, yeah.
What about when you cut?
I don't know. I just stopped eating.
starvation mode?
Yeah, yeah.
How much protein do you eat when you're, let's just say when you're bulking, because that's probably higher.
Yeah, like a little bit above 200.
Awesome. Favorite lift?
Deadlift. Yeah.
Least favorite lift?
Oh. Bulgarian split squats?
Nice.
Yeah.
Iron Hour or dynamic strength?
Iron Hour. Yeah, that one was no thought. Yeah.
For context, Iron Hour is our traditional lifting class. Dynamic strength is a HIIT circuit class.
Yeah,
so
screw cardio.
I expected that one. It's cardio when you lift, right?
Yeah.
Muscle you most want to grow? On yourself.
Chest.
Favorite muscle on women?
Oh. I didn't think of them.
You just think women are gross?
they're scary. I don't talk to them.
Favorite muscle on women?
Arms? I don't know.
Arms. I love how awkward you feel right now. Favorite muscle on other men?
Ooh. Now this is something I get excited about. this is not rapid fire, but
that's all right.
I don't know.
Hit it, man.
That's got to be arms also. Arms just take over everything.
They do.
Yeah.
They just show the work you put in.
Yeah.
First quote that pops into your head. Don't think about it. Go.
First quote?
Ooh. You got a ton of them.
Well, when I wrote up on the board today, which is...
Hit me. Board's right there. You
I got to look
it.
At it. Master your mind and you will master your life. Conquer your habits and you will conquer your destiny.
Awesome, man.
So OP.
I feel like the quotes always, like, to me, I think about you, I think about quotes. Your Instagram is Motivational Deej.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just such a part of who you are and your personality.
Literally.
That you are always finding different ways to give us quotes to kind of rethink and gain perspective on our lives.
I feel like the way of personal growth is literally you just have to look at something a different way and find a different perspective. I feel like that's just the coolest thing I could probably do. Is becoming so much more open-minded than, I don't know, you become closed-minded, everything just starts narrowing down and like your world just isn't as big. And then you open up your mind and like, I don't know, things just become a lot more cooler, fulfilling. And I don't know, I love it.
I never thought about this till right now, but when you were describing that, I feel as though sometimes the feeling I get when I hear a really good quote, sometimes your brain's in a fog, right? And then you hear a good quote and it gives you that perspective and that clarity that you need. It's almost like you got an instant mental nap.
Yeah.
It's like you woke up refreshed and everything all of a sudden makes sense.
Well, I think something I heard, it was like the two things that like are kind of required for change. It's like inspiration or desperation. It's like you're either really desperate that you need a change or you're so inspired that you want to change. Yeah. And like quotes, I feel like just inspire people so much to where I'm like, that's where you framework the mind of being like, oh, I may not have wanted to do a bit more reps to failure, but I might as well push through if that's, I don't know. You just get inspired some way, some shape or form, and then you get to go and get more reps in because it's more about your mental fortitude than anything.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to failure. It's like, oh, I gotta, even though it sucks right now, I could barely even move the bar, but let me just keep on trying and go a little bit further, even though it's a little shaky. I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna keep on going because I don't know. I feel like that's just the way I've frameworked my mind.
Yeah, but you're a bigger fan of positive reinforcement or positive motivation.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're ever motivated negatively, or you ever use that?
I used to be, but like I found the flaws in it where it's like, if you want to be great, you can't tell yourself that you suck. Like, I mean,
I do think some people get there that way.
Some people do.
Maybe it's not the most fun way.
Well, I feel like that's the entrepreneurs where they've told themselves that they suck and then they feel really unfulfilled and they just keep on going to the next goal to feel like they'll achieve something, and then they think of something even bigger and it's like, oh wait, this is just a cycle and I'm just trashing myself.
It hits too close to home, DJ.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Jordan Peterson at all?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you probably heard him talk about this then, and we'll just say it for the listeners though. He talks about positive and negative motivation and the study they did on rats where they basically tested how fast can a mouse or a rat go through a maze
if they
waft cheese smell so that they're positively motivated to go through the maze to find the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also tested them by wafting from their backside the smell of a cat. So they were negatively motivated out of fear or escape from danger, how fast they would go through.
Yeah.
And then they tested the combination of both. And the combination of both the cat smell coming from the back and the cheese smell to go towards, they move fastest through the maze.
Mm.
And so it's clear that while you can be motivated by either or, it's also useful to be motivated by both. Like,
yeah.
I'm running towards the thing I want to become, and I'm also running away from the thing that I don't want to become.
Yeah.
Which is
useful. Yeah. It's a weird combo, but like also it's so true. I mean, I feel like we're just complicated creatures.
Yeah.
There's human beings.
Well, you have to know yourself so well to even start thinking that way.
I think.
And that's a process that could take 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of 10 years process, getting to know yourself, I want to hop into this thing we like to do where I'm going to give you 3 minutes on the clock, and I want you to tell us about your life from birth until now. You've got 3 minutes.
Okay.
You tell the story however you want. I'll make sure and
all
give
right.
you a heads up when you've got like 30 seconds left.
Okay.
Stet, could I have you just turn down the music a little bit?
Sure.
And we will get going. So I'll pull up my timer here.
Mm.
Okay, man.
Thinking,
are you
thinking,
ready?
Thinking. Yes.
Uh-oh, that's an hour and 3 minutes. Although I believe that you could talk for that long.
I probably, it depends on what, but yeah.
You'd find something.
I'd find a way.
Okay, 3 minutes on the clock.
Okay.
What is, first, before we get into that,
yeah.
DJ stands for?
David Joseph.
David Joseph.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
I was thinking about this with the interview, because you know Damon John, the guy who's on Shark Tank?
I know Shark Tank. I don't know which one it is,
well, yeah.
But yeah.
I was just wondering, I've never heard him called DJ, and I bet it would piss him off. I was just thinking if I ever meet him, maybe I'll just try to slip that in and just ruin
just
my
casually
chances.
Casually meet the Shark Tank.
He'd never give me
cast.
Money, but whatever. Okay, 3 minutes on the clock.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, hit us, Deej.
Okay, wee lad DJ being born, boom, there it is, 23 years ago. Fast forward a little bit, I grew up in Roberts. Well, I like moved to Roberts when I was 3. I've stayed here pretty much ever since. I mean, I went to River Falls, but that's 15 minutes away. But then I'd say around when I was 14, that was when I had my little brother, Gavin, which it was weird because it's like I have the same parents. They just had a 14-year gap. And I have an older sister that's 3 years older than me. And then I also have a little sister that is... that was born a year after Gavin. So I was 15 when she was born. Kind of weird. Felt like I was growing up as an uncle with them, which, I don't know, it was kind of awesome, but also free birth control because I was like, yep, I am not having a kid right now. That was just solidified. But moving on. From there on, I feel like trials and tribulations. I don't know. I feel like in high school, it was kind of like a depressing scene. It was really just like, oh my God, what is my purpose? Why am I here? It was just like a lot. I had so many questions to be like, I don't know. I started going to therapy because I just couldn't figure it out. I was like, I'm going to school. And I mean, I'm a high school student, so I mean, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to figure out what my purpose is right there. But it gave me a good entryway into like motivation, because then I was like, what? Well, I guess I got to get motivated, find something. And then, oh, made the stupidest decision of my life. Signed up for the National Guard. Just a 6-year contract on the dot. And I was just like, yeah, whatever gives me direction. And so I went with that. Went to basic training when I was 19. I served for about 4.5 years, was having panic attacks. And then I was like, oh my God, this is not where my heart is. Yes, I think it was great to serve, but also at the same time, it damaged me so much to the point where I was like, okay, yeah, I need to leave this place. And so it took me about a year to get discharged, but it was an honorable discharge. And then I think from there, I was working at the curd factory, and that was a wild job. A lot of dudes just kind of, I don't know, hating their lives, manual labor. Seconds. All right, 30 seconds.
You're good.
Manual labor sucks. And now I'm here where I'm in a gym. I'm leading people. This has been the coolest place I've ever kind of gone to, because I got leadership roles. I've learned skills. I don't have any social anxiety anymore, because I'm day in, day out coaching people. I don't know. I've just grown a lot since then. And I feel like since then, it's just been, all right, I'm here on this earth to kind of motivate people and kind of share whatever perspective I can.
Wow, that was Boom. A perfect ending.
Yeah, look at that.
That's great.
Boom.
I will say, so you just crossed your 1-year mark here, correct?
Yep.
And so got hired on about a year ago. And I will say, while a lot of you is the same, the base core of you is the same person, you're very different.
Yeah.
I think you're a much more confident person. And we'll dig into that stuff.
Yep.
But that's, I think, the most intriguing thing is the fact that you said, you're how old, 23?
23. Yep.
At 23 years old. I had somebody tell me when I was, I must have been 20, 21, and she was like 28. So I thought she was like a sage old woman at the time. But she told me you change your most in your 20s.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that stuck in my head, but every single year during my 20s, it like re-popped into my head. And I would think, well, did I change the last year? And I would say, it's not that you can't change when you're older, but those 20s are so formative and you can make so much change, both in a positive and negative way, but yours has been seriously positive.
Yeah.
It's just been 1 year.
Well, I think it's like, okay, you're in school until you're at least like around 18, and then you have the avenue of kind of nowadays go to college or like just find some job. And for me, I was like, I went to basic training, which that's already kind of a life-changing kind of thing, where I learned how to basically put up with a bunch of shit. That's kind of how it is.
Sure.
And then, I don't know, I think it's just like, you don't have your parents, you don't have your teachers, you don't have anyone else influencing you. As soon as you're either not in college or you're just like on your own, and you're like, all right, now I gotta learn how to do this. I have to learn how to like kind of reframe my own thinking, because everyone else has put their way of thinking onto you, and it's like you adapt that, because that's just, you're a kid, you don't know what else to do. And so it's like your 20s is literally, oh, I have to figure out what am I doing, how do I think, how do I survive really on your own. And I think that's just like, that's definitely why you're gonna change so much in your 20s, because it's now up to you to decide what you want to do with your life. And so
I wish that was told to us like that more often, because I took a different path than you, right? I followed the path of what you were supposed to do, of go to college, you know, get the straight A's, whatever. And you think you're going to pop out and get a $100,000 a year job right away.
Yep.
And I wish it was told to me that it was going to take 10 years to really figure out who you are. And I don't think we get told that. I think we get told you pop out of high school, or especially you pop out of college, and you should have your life figured out.
Yep.
You should be on a path, or at least that's been sold. whether that's just stories about other people's kids or in the movies or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know that I'll tell my kids that differently. I'm sure that you will too, that, hey, take some time and figure it all out before you force yourself into a niche.
Yeah. And I felt weird because it was like, okay, all my friends are going to college and I'm still living with my parents. Like, I don't want to go to college because I don't learn like that.
Have any pull to go to college?
I did. I got out of basic training. I was going to get it for free with the GI Bill, tuition reimbursement. But like I went for a month. I signed up and I was in generals because I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I dropped out because I was like, so the evolution of that was I just just stopped showing up. But I pretended to keep going because I was living at home and I'd drive myself to the park. I'd sleep in my van and then I'd come back later. And then eventually it came out and my mom figured it out first. And she was like, you have to tell your dad. And I was like, okay. We sat down at the dinner table and my mom's like, okay, don't you have something you want to tell your dad? And I was like, yeah. Dad, I'm gay. And my mom's like, no.
You really said that?
I literally said that. I was like, this is such a good plan. And then my mom's like, no, that's not what he was trying to say. And then I'll try to convince him for like a solid minute. I was like, I kind of like dudes. It was really funny, but in the end, they were like, we really don't, one, we don't care if you're gay, but two, like, we don't care that you dropped out of college. And I was okay. It wasn't that.
You thought that was going to be like, that was the big slap in the face, and then the, I dropped out of college, and you'd be like, okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit lower, you know? I was like, whatever.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
But yeah, that was a good one. Cool.
So what about right when you left high school? Did you have any pull to go to college then, or was there any awkwardness around everybody else is going? Did you feel like you should?
I
didn't even think about it.
Well, right out of high school, I had my summer, and then I was going into basic training. And then once I got back from basic training, it was about like, I don't know, December, maybe January. And then I went into that semester going into like the winter, but I had a pull. It was like, I signed up for a 6-year contract. Maybe I should take advantage of this and go to school.
Sure.
And like, I felt really awkward knowing all my friends were going. And then I was like, I'm just working my manual labor jobs. Then I just go from place to place to place. And then I was like, there's no actual direction here either. And so it did feel weird. And I felt like, I'm this piece of shit. I don't go to college. And it was just like, it was kind of weighing on me. But that's when I like tried to explore a little bit more mentally, where it was for me in my 20s, it was kind of after that area of, okay, I'm not going to college. I'm working my manual labor jobs around like my 20, 21. I basically took a year. Yes, I was just still doing my manual labor jobs, but I was more focused on how can I really open up my mental space and reframe this? And it was the app Waking Up by Sam Harris.
Yeah, great.
It was
app.
Like, I spent a year just like going through a bunch of that. And because I paid the full year and it was like a hundred some bucks. And I was like,
$1 million
at
the time. Got,
I know that's $1 million to a 20-year-old. You're like, oh man, I just spent my life savings on this. But I was like, I don't know. I just needed something else. And meditation, like, really kind of grounded me. And I don't know, you get to actually explore the thoughts that are going on. What are the thoughts that you actually have? What's true about them? What's false about them? And how are they actually helping you in your day-to-day life? Like, I feel like that kind of framework for me really helped me just kind of navigate, okay, I'm not a piece of shit because I didn't go to college. And then it was more around, okay, how can I really like kind of be someone that people can get motivated by, or at least see different perspectives where you can open up your mind just by the words that you hear. And most of the time I'm like, yeah, I want to encourage people. I want to make sure it's like a positive change. And like, that's kind of all I really drive. And now I don't really have any like I don't really have negative thoughts. Like, it's just
like, extinguished it, huh?
Like, it's just kind of not something that really happens that often for me. Or like, even just, I
Is
don't
it that they
really...
don't happen, or are you just so good at blocking them early? What do you think?
I think it's just being able to have that detector. Is it true or is it not? And most of the time, if I were to push this negative agenda, it's not going to help me. And I most of the time I have to speak out loud for my thoughts to finally come out. Like, otherwise, if I'm just thinking in my head, I'm probably not going to like really grasp what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And like, I think I learned that from therapy, because it was just like, oh, you get an hour and I just spew out all my problems. I'm like, yeah, easy.
So instead of letting them bounce around in your head, do you like, so let's say you were to have a negative thought 10 minutes from now, you're going home and you have a negative thought. Will you speak out loud still? Is that a technique, or do you?
I think I can realize in my head, and I mean, it's just the fact that I also don't have it that often nowadays, to where I'm like, I think it's just because when I was in high school and I was like, it was like my depression phase, where it was just like, everything sucks. Like, I just put on my headphones in school, never talked to anyone. It was just put my head down, do my work, get out. And like, I even carried that on into my like manual labor jobs. So I was like, all right, put my head down, do my work, get out. And it's like, it's not fun at all.
You're just got your blinders on.
Yep, it's my blinders are on. I don't know. And like, I just learned that you also need other people to be able to pull yourself out of whatever rut it is. And it's like, we're so community based. That's why I also love it here. Cause it's like, this is the one place where I know I'm not, even if I'm in a bad mood, I come in, at least five people there are going to be like, hey DJ, what's going on?
Yeah, good to see you, man.
Yeah.
We're glad
and it's
you're
like,
here.
Oh, you want to play into this character of, oh, like I'm in a funk. But like, for the most part, it just pulls me right out. And I'm like, oh, hey guys, like what's going on? And like, it's like it, like all the negative stuff just disappears within like just the moment someone says your name with a little smile on their face. And they're like expecting this like fun greeting. Cause that's like, well, that's what I do. That's who I am. And so like, I don't know. It's just like, it's just a switch where I'm like, oh, I'm not actually like, that's just not who I am. I don't know. I'm just not that negative person anymore. And I think it's just like taking me a few years to finally guide my way through it to be like, yeah, I don't, that doesn't serve me at all.
That tool of speaking out loud is so useful. Even if you don't speak it out loud, but you kind of let yourself kind of analyze.
Almost like thinking out loud.
You've probably heard the like fear standing for false expectations or false events appearing real or whatever it is. I have to do that all the time now. Like if I start to feel stressed, and I didn't used to do this, I just let myself continue to feel stressed and believe that the stress was there for a very real reason.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I think it's easy to trust stress. That it's telling you something's wrong, so you should listen to it.
Yep.
And now I'll go through the thoughts in my head and be like, because often it's about something that, oh, if I don't do this, then the gym's going to close or something like that.
Yeah.
And I have to really assess like, what's the likelihood of this? And then as soon as I bring myself back to reality, it's like an instant decrease in stress.
Yeah.
But the speaking out loud thing, do you know Tim Ferriss at all? Or hear of him or listen to him?
I think I've heard of him, but I don't know.
So he was like, even pre-Joe Rogan, I would say like one of the premier podcasters, self-improvement, Silicon Valley type stuff. I used to listen to him a lot when I was kind of in not a great place. Kind of similar to when you talk about being at the Curds. I was working at a organic milk factory, and I just kind of was in my mid-20s feeling like, oh my God, I'm a piece of crap. Why am I working in this job? And I'm not doing the things that I really want to do, but I also don't know how to get there. And I would start getting really angry sometimes, you know, when you're when you're young in your 20s, especially as a guy, I think sometimes you just have this anger that pops up.
Oh yeah.
And he explained how useful it was when you feel those emotions sometimes to say out loud, this is going to sound so cheesy,
yeah,
but to say out loud, Nick is angry, almost to externalize it. And the way I've framed it in the past is, instead of riding the emotion train, I then, by saying that out loud and saying Nick and externalizing myself and Nick is angry, then it's like I hopped off and I can watch the train go by and figure out why that train exists.
Yeah.
And it just kind of gives you the ability to assess yourself from afar instead of being in it.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing you have to do is name it.
Yeah.
Like, especially emotions. I've learned that through therapy, like, I wasn't able to name what I was feeling. I would she would ask me, how do you feel about that? And I'd like go over some situation or like start talking about something else, but I could never actually name what I felt. And once you're able to name it, and if you actually say it out loud, it's almost like you finally connect the dots. And it's like, okay, now this is how I feel. Now the question is why? Why do you feel that way? And then it's like, I don't know, there's a whole like framework around it, but it's like, if you're able to name it and then dig deeper into the reason why, and then maybe like even a little bit deeper, maybe there's a belief core, like a core belief down there where maybe it's, oh, I think that I just like can't feel angry because a while ago down the road, I just wasn't able to express that feeling. And now you're here, but you can't name it. And like, I feel like that was such a hard thing for me to do. It's just like, okay, how do you actually feel? I think it's just a guy thing a lot more than a girl thing, because girls get to talk a lot. And like, that's how they kind of communicate. Whereas guys is just like, you know, we just spew out jokes and just kind of,
shove it deep down.
Yeah, shove it deep down. Well, don't talk about
it. I think, especially as a younger male, I've learned now, as I'm approaching 36, to talk through my stuff almost too much sometimes. And you guys probably see that from like, I'll just openly chit chat what my stream of consciousness is to you guys sometimes, and it may not even make sense. That's like my way of processing things.
Yeah.
But definitely when I was younger, I felt like it was frowned upon to do that, or you weren't as much of a dude if you did that.
Definitely.
And so it's almost like you're societally incentivized to like have a mental breakdown.
That's where it's weird. Like nowadays, I feel like in society, we're so like, that's why I love the gym. Because in society, in today's day and age, it's like, all right, go home, turn on some Netflix, watch some TV with your spouse, and then go back to your desk job, your 9-to-5. And then it's just a lot of just sitting and just being stagnant and not being able to move. And I love one of the Stoic quotes was just like, we were not made to sit in a comfortable bed. We were made to move. We were made to be active. Like, I don't know. You think about any time you finish a workout, how do you feel after that compared to when you started? And it's just a night and day feeling.
It's kind of like when they say you got to spend money to make money. It's, you almost have to spend energy to get energy back. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to, when you have, because everything's momentum, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm sitting on the couch for 2 hours watching a movie, the last thing I want to do is get up and walk the dog after that. But it's the thing I most need to do if I want to get anything else done that day. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I could watch 4 movies in a row and just like keep that momentum going.
Oh, yeah.
But so I want to go back to when you were in high school, because it's interesting to me. I actually, when I think, and I'm so impressed by you, because at 23 years old, you have thought through these things that I did not have a grasp on at 23 years old. And maybe I was just still distracted. I was in my bartending phase and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, comes from the fact that you were dealing with this depression in high school.
Yeah.
That I don't feel like I dealt with that. It was just, you know, more happy-go-lucky. And everybody has self-doubts when they're in high school. But why do you think it hit you so hard? Have you assessed at that young of age why those kind of dark thoughts or feelings were there?
I think it was a lot, like, I think from my frame, like, when I was even in middle school, it was just like, I don't know, I don't think rejection really, like, I didn't know what it was gonna feel like, and then it hit me really hard. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, like,
that bites.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think I was still under the impression of, oh, like, I want a date to marry, but, like, in high school, what's really the reality of
that?
And it's just like, okay, I had to step back, and it was like probably a year or two where I was just like in a funk. I just didn't I didn't have the motivation to even get up and go to school. I didn't want to even like talk to my friends. It was just a very dark age, and it was just like, I don't know. It was just the fact that I couldn't deal with being alone, and I feel like just the fact that I had a little siblings that my parents were taken care of, a lot more attention was diverted towards them. Whereas, I mean, for the most part, I was really okay with just, all right, I'm just gonna go home, go in my little bedroom and play video games. I was okay with that, but then at some point it turned into a problem. It turned into a problem, and I was just like, I don't know how to get out of this. And I think it was just one class, one of the teachers, it was just finance, and it was just teaching me about how to like make an IRA Roth instead of a 401k when I'm younger, because, all right, that's where I really learned.
This is when you were in high school?
Yeah.
Good for that high school, man. Is that where it falls?
SEC, St. Croix Central.
Oh, St. Croix Central,
Hammond.
Okay.
Hammond, yep. Hammond, Wisconsin. But
go Shelly Clay.
Yeah, come, let's go Shelly. Let's go. But it was just like, I don't know. I started looking at this one dude. His name is Jason. I paid for a program at 18. It was $1,000.
No joke?
And no joke. It was 30 minutes a day.
You were so rich at 18.
No, I just, when I was 16, I had to have my internet cut off until I got a job. So that's, yeah.
And that's incentivize you, huh?
Yeah, that was my incentive. So I paid $1,000 for this program. It was like 30 minutes. You watch this 30-minute video. It'll give you a task each day, and there'll be like check-in on Sunday, reflection, and it'll be for 2 months. And so it was kind of cool during the check-ins. You were like, all right, what's something that, like, what are three things that went really well during your week, and what's something you can improve on? And then it was just like, I don't know, it was just like kind of a little community, but it was a lot older people than me. And I feel like I didn't realize how advanced it really was for me being 18.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, this is kind of, my parents looked at me like I was crazy when I bought it. I told them, I bought this $1,000 program online, and they're like, what? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'll try it out.
They're like, buy some beer.
I'm like, oh my God. Well, like, it was, I think that was when I was on vacation with my family. I bought it, and then I went from there. I didn't even complete it. I only went a month through. But within that, the main kind of guideline was Kaizen, where it's 1%. You just have to be 1% better today than you were yesterday. And that really just kind of drove home for me. I was like, oh, I don't have to try insanely hard, but like, as long as I can do a little bit better than yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's all about momentum. You're not going to change your life. All right. I think the best way of saying this is brushing teeth. If you brush your teeth for 2 minutes a day, like, yes, you'll have better teeth in a year, but like, you can't just brush your teeth for 40 minutes in one day and expect it to be clean for a year.
Yeah.
Like, you have to do it every single day, and it has to just be little steps. It doesn't have to be giant
ones. I've heard that same thing with sweep the floor. You got to sweep the floor every day. You can't sweep the floor for 24 hours and then it stays clean for
Years. Yeah. Like, and I think that's just like, I think that's the easiest way for people to kind of comprehend that.
What was it like, your grades and stuff like in school?
I was not like, it wasn't like crazy. I was just like, all right, C's get degrees.
Yeah.
I don't think I got
Was it easy for you to learn though? Like what?
So-so. I mean, like, mostly it was, I don't care about this, and I wouldn't turn stuff in. And I just have zeros all the time. And I was like, why would I do this? And
now, when you, like, cared about learning something though, was it easy for you to learn things?
Especially if I'm intrigued in it. I was like, oh yeah. Like, I don't know, science was really cool. Or math, I actually liked math, but like, I don't know. Other than that, I was like, I was gonna get excited for lunch and gym. Like,
sure.
That's about it.
The reason I'm asking that is I feel, having spent the last year with you, I feel like you're highly intelligent, and that especially when there's things that you're excited about learning, you pick them up very quickly. And I now believe that there's probably nothing you couldn't learn if you don't want to. And it's mostly whether you're just interested enough to actually dig into it.
Yeah.
And I do think there's some type of correlation. From what I've garnered and looked into, IQ is kind of just pattern recognition, right? It's people with a higher IQ see a pattern in a more complex system than people with a lower IQ. But that comes with some downfalls too. And so if you're highly intelligent, you see the connection to everything. And so it's almost like information overload. And so I guess my assessment of this and what I'm wondering is, if like I believe that you're highly intelligent, that it's almost necessary for you to have a lot more frameworks in place to handle the influx of information and connections that you see. And without those frameworks, then it can lead to overwhelm and depression. But I'm not a therapist, so.
I don't even know what's the question.
There's no question. I'm just kind of pondering on this.
Like, I was just like, oh my God.
It's so interesting to me to see how just intelligent people often have more difficulty with things, and if they can be highly effective if they put the right frameworks in.
Yeah.
But if not, then, you know, if maybe if you didn't go to therapy, if you didn't buy those courses, that maybe you would have still been depressed at 21 and you'd have a drug addiction or something, you know?
Yeah. And like, I don't know. Especially because I feel like I live my life a lot differently than other people. Like, what's going through my, I think it was a book, it says, "Don't believe everything you think." Mm-hmm. Best book ever. It's so small, but it has such an eye-opening feel to it. Where I forgot where I was going with that, but.
Don't believe everything you think.
Don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think.
That's the literally lesson.
It. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever.
That's all right.
We'll move on.
Tell me a little bit more about the National Guard. We were talking yesterday.
Yeah.
Just about environments and energy. And you mentioned that about how important the gym was to just get in a different energetic environment. And I'll let you tell it, but we were having a conversation yesterday about how that arena produced anxiety and how you healed from that. And I just think it'd be useful for people to hear.
Yeah. Well, I think it started like, I was also just like a nerd, like from high school, because I was going to drill because I signed up at 17. I was still in high school going to drill, and it was like once a month I would go to Eau Claire and then I'd come back. But like, I was such an awkward kid. I didn't know how to really connect with people, and it didn't necessarily really click for me until after basic training. But basic training, it just felt like, all right, my mindset was, don't be the outcast. Literally anything you can do to just be mediocre, not have a drill sergeant yell at you, you're doing good. If they don't know your name by the end, you
blend
did good.
In.
Yeah, you blend in. And so I also hated it because it almost felt like I was going back to freaking middle school. These people just didn't know how to listen. And I guess that's why they were in the National Guard. But like, I don't know. It was weird. No one really wanted to listen. But I already felt like I had a good layer of discipline in me, to where I was like, I'm just gonna do whatever they say, and then I'm just gonna roll with it. But then, as I progressed into actually being at my unit, I realized how toxic the environment was. No one really cared. Everyone just literally hated on each other just because that's what you did. And that's literally what the environment created. And I could tell it was taking a toll on my soul every single time I walked in there. And I got to the point where I was like, I know I have to wake up tomorrow and I'm just going to hate everything that happens for the next 2 days or 3 days. Maybe it's the two-week drill that I have to go there and just suck it up for 2 weeks. But like, I just realized my heart's not here, because I knew, I just knew there was something better out there for me. And I was like, I have such good skills, but I know this isn't the place to apply it, because it was just, all right, we're here to make sure you can check off the skill. Okay, even though you cheated to get there, we're just gonna check it off anyways. Or, oh, we didn't actually do that, but whatever. Like, yeah. I just feel like nothing was really, hey guys, we're gonna really try and train you to upgrade you, literally make you a better like human being. It was literally just like, we're here to do our tasks that are sent from the higher ups, and like, as soon as we're done with that, whatever, we'll go home. And there was just no fulfillment in there. And I ended up talking to my officer. Like, I was just like, he got replaced and the new one came in, and I called my team leader because I was having a panic attack. I was just crying. I was like, I don't think I can come in tomorrow. And I've already like talked to, like, they made me have a therapist for a year before I could get discharged. And I was like having thoughts of suicide while I was going there. I was like, I don't even want to carry a gun right now. Like, this is not like, and they just kind of were like, okay, you'll just kind of be on the sidelines, but you'll still be with us. And so that just pissed me off even more. I'm like, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I just need to get out of this environment. And it all like ended up, it took me a year going to therapy and still going there, which was a horrible idea. Every single time I talk to my therapist about how much I hate it, I'm like, why am I still going here then? Because if it's a job,
yeah,
you just, if it's a regular job, you just quit your job. Okay, your anxiety's cured. But like, I have a contract and I was so trapped. And I think that's also why I feel so much more mindful than like the average 23-year-old, where I'm like, there's just dark days there where I'm like, I don't even want to fucking continue doing this. But like, I just was forced to, and I was just like, okay. And that's where, I don't know, I feel like I have that switch of discipline, or like, oh yeah, this lift sucks, I'm gonna go heavier the next one. Like, I feel like I just have this switch where I'm like, yes, stuff sucks, and it's not always gonna be sunshine and rainbows, but you can at least frame it in your mind to at least go towards a more positive route than, oh, my life sucks and everything is over. Like, no, it's just your thoughts telling you that. It's not always true. And so I think that's also one of the things, is just like, your thoughts aren't always gonna like tell you the truth. They might speak some truth from how you feel, but that's not always like how it is in the world, you know? And so I don't know, I think it just all stemmed from, hey, I know you're hurting, but come to drill anyways. Oh, I literally would just sit there for 8 hours, and then they'd be like, all right, we're gonna go home. I'm like, okay, what did I do today? Nothing. Like, what purpose did it serve for me to be here?
Yeah.
And then it's just like, I don't know, you dig deeper and deeper. You're like, okay, why am I even like here on this earth then? It's like, well, I don't know, can't tell you.
I feel like almost like everybody has like a fire, like a light inside of them. And some people's burns maybe faster or brighter or heavier than others.
Yeah.
And so they have a different fuel requirement.
Yeah.
And you are so individualistic, and your personality, that's why people love you, is you're so different than anybody else that they meet. And you shine so brightly amongst a group no matter what. Not that you're calling attention to yourself, it's just your personality coming out.
Yeah.
And it's like you are in an environment where there was no fuel to that fire. And it was like, and I do think people's lights get snuffed out all the time when they stay in environments that don't fuel them. And if you're not conscious of that, then you can basically like lose what was good about you.
Yep.
And luckily you fought back.
Yeah.
And when you first came to the interview, you were working at the Curd Factory at the time. I remember I was real dicey on whether we should hire you, because you had this energy that you have now, but it was a little bit less controlled. It was an anxious energy.
Oh yeah.
You could tell that you were still having some anxiety about not wanting to be at the Cheese Curd Factory.
Yeah.
But I remember the thing that really sold me on you was, I'll often in the interview process talk to tell or kind of pitch people on the vision for the place and talk about the skill sets that I want them to acquire and the growth that I want them to incur as a person.
Yeah.
And it tells me a lot about somebody if they get excited about that versus if they're just, oh yeah, cool, you want me to grow. Then I know that they're just here for a job.
Yep.
And you were almost skipping. I remember we were at the nutrition store next door, and you were almost skipping back to your van after we had talked about it, because it was such a kind of a, hey, you can grow into the person you want to be talk.
Yeah.
But to me, as I'm listening to this, it's almost like if you're not growing, you're dying really fast. And so you have to be in growth environments all the time. How did you heal from being super, like even when I met you, being anxious at first, to now I think you have so much less anxiety in your day-to-day than I've ever seen.
Yeah. I can't even really pinpoint like why. I think it's just been a series of me always, I think I always go to a spot where it might have been a year, but like I'm still thinking and evaluating. I think about, okay, where have I gone since 5 years from now? Like, how much have I really changed since then? And like every single year, it's just been, all right, here's this like bit of growth, but then that was essential for me for the next year to learn about something that was, I like the idea of like, I don't know, you find some motivational quote and then years later you visit the same quote, but now you have a different perspective of it.
Yeah.
And it gives you more and more like open-minded feelings. And it's just like, I don't know. I think I've always just been searching to grow more and more and more. And I think it's just been so relevant for me since I was even like in high school. Like, I just wanted to learn. How could I like literally be better so I don't like feel this anxiousness, this like depression feelings inside of me? And it was the gym. The gym was the number one thing where I was like, oh.
Why is that?
Well, just literally just the feeling. One, I could take out all my anger that I had on myself or the thoughts of the day, whatever it was. And it was just like, I can take it all out. And I learned what long-term gratification is through lifting. I was like, oh, if I literally just consistently lift, I will become better at it. And then it was just this thing of, oh, I literally just have to stop and be a beginner at everything that I do. And everyone hates to be a beginner, but I've learned to become to love it more and more. I'm like, oh, I suck at this.
I've seen you even improve on that over the last year, where at first when I would kind of give you a new task, I could tell there was like a little bit of this anxious feeling, overwhelm. You could see it on your face.
Yeah.
That it was just like, oh my God, this is new and a little bit overwhelming. And now if I give you something new, it's like a hungry dog. You're like chomping at the bit to go get it.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Oh, the new things that I suck at is where all the growth is.
Yeah.
It's really cool to watch.
It's just, I don't know. I think it's really just how do you perceive life? I think that's just kind of the biggest thing. Whenever anyone wants to think about growing, how do you like think about your life? Do you feel like motivated to even go to work? Do you want to like work on your health? Do you want to work on your relationships? Are your relationships even good? Like, do you want to spend more time with your family rather than working your 12-hour shifts? Like, I don't know. I think like as I've grown up more and more, it's like, wow, you compare, let's say there's like two kids and they have the same parents. One kid is really rich, doesn't give a shit about their family. The other kid, super poor, but is the nicest person on the planet. Which one are you really more proud of? I'd be way more proud of the person that's able to treat people with kindness, be able to go through life. It's like, what is life without happiness? Like, it just sucks. It's just a never ending, this sucks. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. And it's just like, I've learned that the more I'm able to impact people in a positive way, or at least just be able to bring a smile to someone's face, I'm like, this is what I live for. I don't live for a piece of paper. Like, I'd rather connect, build relationships, and then die knowing that, oh, okay, you know what? I can say throughout my life, I've consistently made this place better. Like, that's what it's all about. I'm not like, oh, yeah, let me just chase money. Yeah, it's nice. I like to not feel broke, but like if I'm broke and happy, I don't care. I don't care. So
this skill set and this mindset that you've cultivated, where do you go from here? What are you going to do with it?
Build
what?
Just build. Make it better. That's all it is. Evolve. Just like, I don't know. I think about where I was like 2 years ago. Okay, I was in a all right place, but it's definitely gotten better since then. And like, I don't know.
It's the most DJ answer ever, because you do. You don't put restrictions on or a certain thing that you have to achieve.
Yeah.
And I think that's where your strength is. Like you just said, I'm just going to build. Like, you're just seeing where it's going. Like,
yeah.
It's just getting better. And you almost like you don't care. You just know that the boat's moving fast.
Yeah.
It feels good. And you kind of don't. Not that you don't care.
Yeah.
But as long as it's still feeling good, you're going to keep going that direction.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also like I live my life more day to day than anyone else I know.
You live your life a quarter mile at a time.
Yeah. I'm like, it's like if you were to run a marathon, I'd literally just run like a tenth of a mile. You're like, yeah, that was good. And then just pause for a day. And I'm like, oh, all right. And so I really like the idea of just like, you don't have to reach certain things. You don't always have to have if you have this goal and then you don't meet it, but there's a byproduct of that that makes you a little bit better over here. What's to tell you that was such a bad move and you're so like distraught because you didn't reach that goal? Yeah. It's like, it's not always about the end goal. It's just the process in which you like are weaving your way around it. Like, it doesn't always matter if you get 500 pounds on your deadlift, but like did you grow a little bit stronger while you got there? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I think that's just the little things that people miss all the time. It's like
such a difficult mindset to achieve.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I don't even know how I got it. I was just like,
super lucky.
Yeah, I'm just lucky.
Well, Deej, this has got a ton of golden nuggets in it.
And
we're gonna have to do a part two on this because I have a million more questions than I had when we first started this. And I think we only started scratching the surface.
Oh yeah.
But in the meantime, where can people find you? On like social media stuff.
Motivational Deej on Instagram. I don't really post that much. But if you join me, you'll probably find something that you like.
When you do post, it's gold. Just sitting in your van talking about how awesome life is.
Oh man, 3 minutes. I made a 3 minute video yesterday. And I was just like, just pull it out. I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna talk about this today. And I was like, and that's where I like literally sit in my car for 20 minutes and I'm just like, I'll just start talking. That's where I'm not gonna be able to think about it, but if I talk about it and talk through it, I'm like, yeah, we'll find some golden nuggets there. Yeah.
Definitely, man. Well, I'm excited to hear more.
Well, hey.
Guys, you can find everything for the gym at Strength Academy, down in the show notes, right, Stet? We changed this. Down in the show notes, you can find everything about the gym, including all of our products. We have online strength training that you can follow that's built for people who are busy to put on muscle mass. We also have our online body composition program, which is a one-on-one accountability program to help you get your nutrition into the right place to shred some fat off. But in the meantime, DJ, thank you for coming by.
Thank you for
having me. We'll definitely bring you back for part two.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Guys, please comment below what the best thing that you learned from this was. That's Strength 101. Peace out.